Why They Changed It, I Can't Say, by Coprime. Rating, general audiences. Archive warning, no archive warnings apply. Category, Gen. Fandoms, Daredevil TV, Daredevil Born Again TV. Relationship, Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson. Additional tags, crack, speculation for Daredevil Born Again, mostly in the form of some casting spoilers. Background, Matt Murdock / Jennifer Walters. Summary, my explanation for what Foggy's going to be up to during Born Again. Matt hadn't meant to stay in Los Angeles for as long as he had, but he didn't think he'd stayed that long. He hadn't thought anything drastic would happen if he took some time to have some fun while also doing work to keep the lights on at the firm. He'd decided to come in early this morning to familiarize himself with the work Foggy had done while he was away, but as he approached the offices of Nelson, Murdock, and Page, he could hear Foggy already inside moving around. When left to his own devices, Foggy liked to pace while thinking. Walking gets the blood flowing, and blood flowing gets the brain going, as Foggy liked to say. But this didn't sound like the measured stride of Foggy working through some idea or legal conundrum. The tempo was all wrong. Still, hearing Foggy moving about meant, to Matt, that he was home. Foggy's noises were familiar to him as his own and served as a comforting reminder of the good things in his life. Something Matt could rely on and had for years. Matt entered the offices to find Foggy packing up and undecorating his personal office. Matt stood for a moment, listening to the sound of Foggy moving his files back to Karen's filing cabinet and putting the little tchotchkes he likes. "They make my office homey, Matt. I'm approachable, Foggy, a guy just like you and whom you definitely should trust to help you with whatever your legal issue may be." Into one of the banker's boxes left over from when they had moved into this office. There went the Florida snow globe he'd picked up when his parents had retired to warmer climes, and the brontosaurus toy he'd hung a doll-sized tie on followed. "It'll make him into a business-saurus," Foggy had proclaimed. Matt had no clue what was going on. It hadn't been that long since they'd moved into this particular set of offices, and at the time, Foggy had said they were never moving again. "How can paper be so heavy and fill up so many boxes? Are you sure we need all these files?" He'd talked to Foggy just before deciding to stay for the weekend, in addition to the work week, and used that time to meet Jen's family, and Foggy had been encouraging, hadn't sounded upset or worried or distant, or anything but jokingly jealous that Matt got to experience the California sun and not him. "Don't think I didn't read all the articles I could find about Daredevil's new base of operations. You can keep that part of the trip for yourself, but the rest of it, I wish I could have gone too." Matt had laughed, saying someone needed to hold down the fort in Hell's Kitchen, but he had also wished Foggy could have come. Just Foggy's live commentary on Patilio's trial would have been a highlight, but the citizens of Hell's Kitchen kept them busy, and they didn't want to risk leaving anyone who didn't have anywhere else to turn, aka most of their clientele, without a place to turn to. Matt leaned his cane in its designated spot, just to the right of the door, and set his bag left of the door on their catch-all table. He locked the office door behind him and approached Foggy's office, where Foggy was currently sorting what sounded like the last of the papers into stacks. "Foggy?" Matt asked. "Did something happen?" Foggy paused, the papers stilling as he raised his head. "Matt, you're back. And you're even looking a little tan there. California must have agreed with you." "Yeah, it was good. Luke was thankful for my help, and I enjoyed getting to know Jen, but what?" Foggy interrupted. "Ah, I know you're not the type to kiss and tell, but she's nice. Not secretly an assassin or likely to leave you for the siren call of the moon or anything like that?" "Yeah, she's nice. Foggy, why? And her family? I know nothing can compare to a Nelson barbecue. Nelson fun is second to none, after all. But they didn't give you any shit?" "No, we got along well. Foggy, how was the flight? No trouble." "Foggy." Matt slipped his glasses into his shirt pocket, put his hands on his hips, and arranged his face into the sternest expression he could, and aimed that expression at Foggy. He'd had a lot of practice aiming at Foggy over the years. Anytime Foggy got an idea to get experimental with his food, Matt's sense of smell and taste, connected as the two were, faced the consequences if he failed to deter Foggy. "What is going on?" Matt asked, his voice flat. Matt didn't like that he didn't know why Foggy was packing everything up, and any reason he could think of only made his heart start to race. Things were supposed to be good now. They were supposed to be good now. Foggy sighed, his breath catching and holding for a moment as he decided what to say. "Let me put this bunch of files away before I forget, and then I'll explain," he went with, which Matt knew was not what he had originally been planning. "Are you leaving our firm? We just got the sign back up. Don't tell me I need to order a new one?" Matt tried to joke, but he knew his voice gave away his nerves. Foggy headed for the filing cabinet, and Matt took a step back to let him pass by. He wanted to grab Foggy's arm, keep Foggy as near as he could as they faced whatever Foggy was delaying in telling him. But Foggy hadn't been lying when he said he'd explain, so Matt could force himself to be patient. For a bit. So he tracked Foggy across the reception room, heard a file cabinet door opening and then folders being thumbed through before Foggy located the proper spot for the ones he held. Matt's hands drifted from his hips to his pockets, where his fingers immediately got to worrying themselves. With the shuff click of the drawer sliding shut, Foggy straightened. Matt waited. He could hear Foggy's heart beating faster, which just made his own want to do the same in sympathy, and smell the nervous sweat beating in his friend's armpits. He hadn't thought Foggy would seriously be considering dissolving Nelson and Murdoch again. Not truly, not when Matt hadn't done anything particularly reckless recently, but then why was Foggy so nervous? Foggy leaned against Karen's desk, still on the opposite side of the room from Matt. "Okay," Foggy said. "Short version first so you can stop stewing, and then I'll answer the many questions you'll have. Nelson and Murdoch isn't going anywhere. I'm not leaving our firm, but I am going to be taking a leave of absence for at least a few months." Matt gaped, his mind blanking as he tried to process the idea of Foggy leaving, even temporarily. His hands clenched into fists as he held himself otherwise still. Brain latching onto one harrowing possibility, he asked, "What, are you sick? Are your parents sick? Theo?" His tone got more emphatic with every question until the last one where he was nearly barking at Foggy. Foggy shoved off the desk and approached Matt. He clasped Matt's upper arms and squeezed, grounding Matt with his presence as he opened his mouth to talk. Matt could smell an egg and sausage burrito with added jalapeno-flavored potato chips, Foggy's breakfast, on Foggy's breath. "I said no panicking, Matt. No one's sick, no one's dying, everyone's okay. No, it's actually kind of exciting." Foggy ran his hands down Matt's arms before releasing Matt. "You've really inspired me because I wouldn't have had the courage to help like this when I was younger." Matt focused on the here and now, the reassuring thump of Foggy's heartbeat, and the heat of Foggy's core radiating in front of him. Matt deliberately stretched his fingers out of their fisted positions, willing himself to relax. Foggy waited until Matt took a deep breath, their signal, ever since freshman year, for readiness when conversations got emotional, before continuing. Foggy took his own deep breath and said, "I'm going undercover in Las Vegas as a gangster to be the FBI's inside man and bring down the Miller gang." Matt gaped. Foggy was leaving to do dangerous undercover work? "Yeah, it turns out I'm a dead ringer for Klaus Guts Jansen. And he died just a couple days ago, but none of the mafioso in Vegas know yet, so the FBI wants someone to go in before anyone gets the wiser. And they think I'm just the man for the job. It's a chance to really make a difference in the criminal underworld, just like Daredevil does." Foggy sounded eager, but no. No, Foggy couldn't go to Las Vegas. Foggy didn't know how to fight. He certainly didn't know how to fight hardened criminals. Matt started debating how he was going to excuse closing down their law office for a time. Would an illness excuse work, or maybe he had decided he didn't want to live in New York anymore? No, that wouldn't fly. No one who had any familiarity with him would believe he'd up and leave his city for good. He could workshop the reason as soon as he got Foggy to agree to let him come along. Foggy picked up one of Matt's hands and threaded their fingers together. With his other hand, he cupped the back of Matt's head. There was the tiniest, nearly inaudible sigh hidden on his breath. I should have known the freewheeling, casual yet cool approach to breaking the news wouldn't go well. Sorry for that, buddy, but I promise I'll be all right. Brett's going to be my liaison with the FBI and the local police, so he'll be there looking out for me. Karen got leave from the paper to do a series of articles about the effects of the blip, with a focus on Vegas as a microcosm of all the issues, so she'll be with me too, and you know she'll find out if anything extra shady is going on. Matt still felt, at least a little, like his tiny world that he'd built was imploding with every person Foggy listed, but it was somewhat reassuring to hear Foggy detail the backup he was already planning to have in Las Vegas. I can help too, he said. We can think of a reason for Nelson and Murdoch to take an extended leave and then... Foggy tightened his hands and Matt fell silent, waiting for what Foggy was going to say next and knowing he wouldn't like it any more than anything else Foggy had told him yet this morning. I need you to stay here in New York and keep the firm open. I've already worked out the details with the FBI and Brett agrees too. They all think it'll be safer for me if Nelson, Murdoch, and Page stays open so no one in Vegas can think to connect me with Jansen. Matt grasped onto the giant flaw of that plan. Maybe he could get Foggy to abandon this reckless idea if he could make Foggy see how unworkable it was. But if Nelson, Murdoch, and Page stays open with no Nelson or Page, wouldn't that be even more suspicious, he asked, in what he thought was a highly reasonable tone. No, the FBI's really thought of everything. Foggy grinned. Matt could hear the muscles of his cheeks and lips stretch, hear the excited smile he got in his voice when he'd made a decision. The right decision, according to him, and already knew that decision would be life-changing. Foggy had sounded like that when they'd left Landman and Zach, and while drawing a sign on a napkin in a bar, both times, and so many other times in their lives when they'd taken the next step together. Everyone knows Karen does investigative journalism, so it won't look odd that she's taken a sabbatical from our firm for her articles. Brett'll be doing a work exchange program with the Vegas PD, and as for me, I can't be here when you meet him, obviously, but the FBI has lined up someone to go undercover here as me. Michael somebody, I think. I don't remember his last name, but you won't be calling him by that anyways. You may have to take a lighter caseload than we normally do, though. The FBI said Michael is familiar with legal work, but he's not a lawyer himself. That sounded like a horrible idea to Matt. Foggy was too well known. Everybody in Hell's Kitchen knew the Nelsons. And I know it'll be tough with Karen gone, so I found a temp paralegal for the firm while you were up to your daredeviling with Jen in California. Angie Huang came highly recommended. She's worked with heroes before, so if something weird happens daredevil-wise, she should be able to roll with it. Plus, she's got a monkey. Hey Hey will be like the mascot for the office. Matt scrubbed his hands over his face, both hands, because it was a lot to take in, forcing Foggy to let go of him. He had so many objections and questions, and just the idea of Foggy being someplace dangerous, someplace he couldn't protect him and intervene if something happened, made him scared. But Foggy had also sounded excited and sure, his nerves fading into nothing as he told Matt his plans. Matt let his hands drop. He said, Foggy, I don't... Foggy enveloped him in a tight hug, and Matt reflexively crushed Foggy to him, his hands gripping the back of Foggy's shirt. Foggy's hair brushed his cheek, then his temple, as he buried his face in his friend's neck, soaking up the memory of him. Would Foggy have to cut his hair as this Guts Jansen guy? What sort of hairstyle was Guts Nelson going to have? Matt thought with less hysteria than he might have had otherwise, were he not wrapped up in Foggy right now. "It'll be okay, Matt, I promise. I need to do this, but then I'll be back, and we'll be Nelson and Murdoch again, unstoppable as always," Foggy said. His breath was gentle, a soft, slightly meaty, spicy brush against Matt's skin. Matt nodded. He understood. It would be tough. He'd miss Foggy, and Karen and Brett, but they weren't going to be in as much danger as Foggy. But Foggy needed his support now, even if Matt didn't like that he was doing something that might get him hurt. Just like Foggy supported Matt in his vigilante work, even though Foggy didn't like that it did get Matt hurt. Matt relaxed his embrace, and he smoothed the wrinkles he'd made in Foggy's shirt with soothing strokes. Soothing to him, at least, and Foggy had never objected to the gesture. They stayed like that, hugging in the middle of their reception room in front of Karen's, soon-to-be Angie's, desk until Matt released Foggy. "Whatever you need me to do, Foggy, I'll do. Just let me know. I'll miss you, but I know, I trust, that you'll come back." Just then, the office's landline voicemail clicked on. Foggy liked to turn the speakerphone mode of their phone on when he was working at the office alone outside of office hours, and Sister Maggie's voice drifted up from the device's staticky speaker. "Mr. Nelson, I'm trying to get a hold of Matthew, but it looks like he's put his ringer on silent. I'm going to be out of town for a few months. There's an orphanage in Nevada, Las Vegas to be specific, that's having some staffing issues due to a lot of unfortunate medical concurrences, so I'll be there managing things until everything settles. Can you make sure Matthew gets this message? I'd like to see him before I leave, but I'm flying out tomorrow." Matt had just one response to his mother's message. "Is everyone I know moving to Las Vegas?" The end. End notes. I put in a few different references. I don't think I was particularly subtle about anything, but if you'd like the list, they are as follows. Title is from Istanbul, Not Constantinople by They Might Be Giants. Basic premise is borrowed from Due South. The Miller Gang, Klaus Janson, and Guts Nelson are all from Daredevil Volume 1, number 185. Frank Miller, the writer, Klaus Janson, the artist, and Guts Nelson, Foggy's alias for the issue. Michael Sumbay, as Foggy's replacement, is referring to Michael Gandolfini, who is confirmed to be in Born Again, but whose character is, as far as I'm aware, unconfirmed as of this writing. Angie Huang and Hei-Hei are from Charles Soule's She-Hulk run. I included her because I liked her in that run, and I think it'd be neat if she showed up. Thank you for listening.